Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Playbook for a Wednesday on Patriots.com radio. John Rook, PFW's Eric Scalavino is here, and we're welcoming you into the program. Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks this Sunday, be a 4:05 Eastern time start. And this is going to be your second all-time trip ever?
Yeah, to Seattle. Yeah, my second one. Yeah, the first one was in 08 when we did the back-to-back West Coast thing.
All right, so what I need then from you are your initial impressions of Seattle when you first went out there 4 years ago.
You want them right now?
Yeah, right now.
I loved it. As we do on West Coast trips, or basically from Denver on, so Mountain Time Zone on, we usually leave on a Friday with the team and have a whole day to ourselves in the city. And we did that. Alex Karras. John's pointing out the scene where he punches the horse. Yeah, and thankfully, no animals were harmed in the filming of that movie.
We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to that in a moment.
But, yeah, so we had an extra day in Seattle back in 08, which we will again end this week. And thankfully, my first trip, we had great weather. It was December, mid-December, and it was sunny for most of the day. And I think the stat was like there's a 1 month of actual clear days when you can see Mount Rainier in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those days happened to be that day that we were there on the Saturday back in 08. So I went up to the Space Needle, got some great skyline pictures with Mount Rainier right in the backdrop. So I was very happy with that.
Nice.
Overall, I was very surprised at how hilly Seattle is. When you think of hilly cities, you think San Francisco, right?
Yeah, generally speaking.
I would say Seattle is as much or if not more hilly.
Come on.
Than San Francisco. And maybe not more hills, but steeper. Way steeper.
Really?
Yeah. I was not prepared for that.
San Francisco?
Yeah, I was not prepared for it.
Because San Francisco is pretty steep.
Oh, yeah. And Seattle can compete when it comes to that. I was not prepared for that. But so if you're a walker like I am, just know that sometimes you're going to be
huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
No matter what kind
big
of
big streets
shape you're
and
in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah.
Interesting.
They have great little bookshops there. Like independent little bookstores.
Kind of goes along with the coffee, right?
Yeah. It's a nice little city, very cultured little city. I like it. I like it a lot.
I think it's more than just a little city though, isn't it?
No, but I think of it as a cozy, like I don't think of it as like a booming metropolis like a Detroit or a New York or Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's big enough. But it doesn't seem imposing.
Well, any city that has the Space Needle has got to be pretty good size, right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, things are very centrally. I went to the top.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So you did all the touristy things.
I did that. I went to the Pike Place Market.
Okay.
Which is the big touristy strip where they have the original Starbucks shop.
Right, right.
They have the fish market where they throw the fish in the air. It's right when you walk in. I swear to God, that's one of the things that people go there for. And just a bunch of little shops. It was Christmas time, so that back then it was pretty cool to be there. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, I was telling you beforehand, we were thinking about doing a side trip this time to go to Vancouver.
Right.
Which I hear is so much even more beautiful and impressive than Seattle.
Except for when they lose hockey games.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true.
What are they doing without hockey in Vancouver?
Maybe they're watching the Seahawks, or they're going to the Whitecaps MLS games.
Doubt that. Doubt all of that.
Okay.
Have that, Vancouver.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I thought it was really just like a maybe like an hour ferry ride across Puget Sound.
Not exactly.
It's not as close as you think.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking at the map, and it was like 2.5 hours to drive, 4 hours to get a Cascades Amtrak train. Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be a hell of a trip, though, I bet.
Yeah, it would. And if we were there for like an entire week, I would spend a day doing that. Mm-hmm. But we have so little extra time there now that it just doesn't seem like it's worth. I
agree.
I mean, best case scenario, plus you have to cross the border, and who knows? You know, you could breeze through, or it could take forever. You never really know when you get up to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at a best case scenario minimum of 3 hours each way. That's 6 hours of your day traveling. Best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't give you a whole lot of time to see the city of Vancouver. But there's plenty more in Seattle that, I didn't get to do that I might try to experience this time. The weather's not going to be cooperative, though. It's going to be cold and rainy.
Like
typical
it is
Seattle, yeah.
Like it is here, yeah. Right now. All right, well, the reason I ask, and I don't mean to generally jump into the whole Travel Channel routine here, but let's face it, facts is facts, as the saying goes. You only get a chance to do this really once every 8 years in the NFL, the way that the schedule runs
nowadays, out. Because the last time before 08, the last time New England went to Seattle was 1993.
Right. So at least now the way that it's set up, you should make a trip to every venue in the NFL within an 8-year period.
You should, yeah.
You should. So if that is to be the case for the foreseeable future, the Patriots will not return to Seattle until 2020. Correct? It's the next time you roll around to the NFC West.
Yeah, the formula
stays. And you go play because they'll play them again in 4 years, but they'll probably come here.
Yeah, they should come here.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So I asked this question because they're out on that coast. We're here on this coast.
Mm-hmm.
They really couldn't have... Except for San Diego, you probably don't have two further NFL franchises apart from each other. Is that a proper assessment?
Yeah, because Boston is as far
maybe Miami,
east as you could get.
Maybe Miami and Seattle would be further apart a little bit?
Yeah, maybe because it's on the diagonal.
Somebody will probably do the math.
But yeah, that's
out.
That's.
Let's just put it this way. They're a fur piece away.
Yes, they is.
They is a fur piece away.
Mm.
So because of that, I got to thinking today. I'm just kind of thinking out loud off the top of the head here, and I'm like, what do we really know about Seattle? And I'm thinking, well, football-wise, we're beginning to understand some things about Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we know about Seattle, which is why I wanted to ask you about that, and hoping that it can help enlighten us as well about the football team. So I've got a question for everybody today. I love these questions of the day, and this may or may not, be your cup of tea, but at the same time, in the interest of finding out facts, and I know that we have a very worldly audience. We have many that listen to us from that part of the country.
Yep.
As well. And so I'm going to ask you, especially, I'm going to be all inclusive here. I'm not just going to, count on people that have been to Seattle or know the area at all. What I want to know from you is today, when you think Seattle, what do you think?
Coffee.
Okay. Geez, just jump right in, Eric.
Oh,
of course. All right. That's fine. That's one. But those of you who are listening from Seattle today, and I assume we have some Seahawks fans, and welcome into the program. I know that we probably have several fans that are from upstate Washington, West Coast, have traveled to Seattle from, close by, whatever it may be. But when you think Seattle, what do you think? And I want you to give me a good thing if you can, and I want you to give me a negative thing if you can. And let's see if we can't build a little profile of Seattle. And this also includes the Seahawks football team. So if you're when you think Seattle, you think Seahawks. Great. Write it down. Send me a note. If you think Seattle, you think coffee, like Eric. All right. Write it down. Send me a note. If you think Seattle and you think love the uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
Write it down.
Yeah.
If you think Seattle and you think Bruce Irvin. Write it down. I'm just trying to build
word association.
Almost a word association profile of Seattle that we're trying to build here in the playbook today.
Okay.
And I want to see if we can do a little experimentation here in the program.
A little psychological evaluation. Yeah.
Where are you with Seattle? As a Patriots fan, as a Seahawks fan, as an NFL fan, where are you with Seattle? What's your overwhelming impression of Seattle, of the Seahawks, of anything having to do with, the great northwest part of the country?
Mm-hmm.
So the email in which to submit your responses, webradio@patriots.com. Very simple. If you'd like to join us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, pick up the phone, dial the number, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. You may also submit your response via Facebook. John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name. Submit the friend request if you have not done so, and then you can post and chat, and we can talk some football. Or you can hit me up on Twitter, at jrook0722. J-R-O-O-K-E 0722. So give that some thought. Now, so where are you with Seattle? That's what I want to know. That's the question of the day. What do you think about when you think Seattle? The other story that I wanted to mention today, and this is a little bit personal, and it also has something to do with the NFL as well, but the passing of Alex Karras today, to me, obviously signifies I'm getting to the age now where it seems like weekly another chunk of my childhood goes careening off the cliff, right? And I say that in jest, but personally, Alex Karras was one of my favorite NFL personalities, and I'm putting quotes around the word. He was one of my favorite NFL personalities of all time. And it's not so much that he later became, you know, a pretty good actor, comedic first, and then he got into the, I know you remember him, you're of the age where you remember from the Webster television show in the, you know, 1980s, where he played George Papadopoulos was the character on the Webster TV show. But I remember Alex Karras as a member of the Detroit Lions when I was a boy growing up in the 1960s, and also remember him famously for the movie Paper Lion, in which George Plimpton, as a sports writer at Sports Illustrated at the time, walked on, in effect, to an NFL team and basically
as a quarterback.
As a quarterback, right? And Alex Karras was, I don't think he meant to be, but he was freaking hilarious in that movie. And he tried to be serious. I really believe that Alex Karras tried to be serious in this movie, you know, cutting up and why is this, you know, sucker here and all that kind of stuff. But the thing about it is, though, is that he ended up, I think, learning that he had a knack for this thing because of the whole Paper Lion movie. So, at any rate.
So maybe that's why, because I asked you beforehand, how does a guy playing in Detroit become an actor? Maybe Paper Lion.
You wouldn't necessarily think that a guy from Detroit, a defensive tackle from Detroit, no less, would have the persona, would have the magnetism of a Hollywood superstar.
The recognition.
Recognition.
Especially back then.
Right. For those that don't know, and I'm sure many of you have probably Googled this or seen it on your various websites or what today, but Karras was an All-Pro, three-time first-team All-Pro tackle for the Lions. He was a member of the NFL's All-Decade team of the 1960s. For comedic fans, in addition to his George Papadopoulos role on the 80s sitcom Webster, he was perhaps better known, and for me especially, as the character Mungo on the movie Blazing Saddles. And he probably uttered one of the greatest all-time movie lines in history.
Which was?
I want to get it right. Hold
on.
You're
going to Google it?
Yeah. Well, no. It's, I believe, hold on just a second here. I'm going to call it up on YouTube. You might be able to
Kevin
get it.
Should
Kev.
Be able
can
to
you get that?
Can pipe it through. The,
can you pipe it through? Can you get
Alex Karras from Blazing Saddles as Mongo, M-O-N-G-O?
Yeah, you've got to, because it's really good, and I'm sure we got, you know, probably dozens of people typing it in right now as we speak. Mm. I believe he said, Mongo, only a pawn in the game of life. And we all are only pawns in the game of life. We're mere pawns in the game of life. And to me, I always thought that was poignant.
No, certainly. Not all of us.
No?
You're a rook.
Very good. See, it took Eric to come up with that. Is it time for word of the day yet?
I got one ready for you.
Don't you
worry.
All right, we'll get to that. We'll get to it. But I just thought that was a real poignant thing for even the character to say, because, you know, in the movie, the character
plays
Gronkowski
type.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, a lot worse than that. Let's just say he was maybe a couple of marbles short of a stack, so to speak, or a couple of chips short of a poker stack.
He played what people like to think of Gronk as nowadays.
I think he played what a lot of people thought were football players at the time.
In general. Yeah.
You know, Mungo, you know, one of those kind of guys.
Yeah, Neanderthal type.
You know, can't do anything but slug a horse, which he did in the movie, somewhat comedically. No animals were harmed in the making of this movie. So I just thought that, to me, he sort of epitomized, wow, this guy really has something. And, He has personality, magnetism. He had obviously great athletic ability at the time. Sad to say that, you know, in his time away from football, he passed away today at age 77, so he lived a pretty good life. But, you know, his last few years were marred by dementia, of which his wife, who, by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, his television wife on Webster's is his real wife.
I think I knew that back. That was back then, too, right? I
believe so.
Yeah, I think I knew that back then. I forgot her name, though. Because it wasn't Karis, right? It was just something else.
No, it was something else. It wasn't maiden name. I'll have to look it up. I'm sure we can, you know, again, we'll get somebody to look it up and send it to us here. But he's a part of that lawsuit with retired players in the NFL.
Thousands of them.
Thousands of retired players in the NFL suing the league because of the... concussion syndromes. That
so he was did he was he known for that like did he back
no,
then
no you never heard this back in the 60s and 70s and that's the thing about the difference between football today and football of a different era in which he played. Guys back then in the 60s and 70s didn't complain. They kept it to themselves. They played through it. I mean, this is how the tough boy image really was formed and formulated in this country through, I believe, 1960s and 70s era National Football League players. Even, and I think you could probably make a statement as well as baseball and even hockey too, because athletes at the time weren't making huge bucks. In fact, in the 60s and 70s, football players were part-time athletes. They used, you know, preseason, they used training camp to get into shape. Because in the off season, they were salesmen or they were, you know, whatever they were doing, but they were working. They had to work two jobs.
Crazy to think that now, huh?
It's amazing to think that. And so what they're, you know, doing, I think partly because of the health issues now that they're learning, all these guys are suffering from dementia and other health problems of that era. The fact of the matter is that, you know, the NFL is kind of forgotten about them in a sense. I hope that the NFL continues to make strides toward taking care of this era football player, because the National Football League, what it is today, and I'm going to opine here for a moment, but the National Football League, what it is today, is built on the backs of guys like Alex Karras, without a doubt, and Paul Hornung. Coincidentally, both of those guys were suspended for gambling back in the 1960s, too. Do you know that?
I knew Hornung was.
Karras was, too.
I didn't know he was.
Karras was, too. You know why those guys do that, though? They probably felt like they had to. They didn't make any money.
To supplement.
Supplement their income, sure.
Yeah. Plus, so, in Detroit, you've got Ontario right across the river
Windsor,
there.
And they have... I believe so, yeah.
I might have found some.
Okay, you found something?
Mongo only pawn in Game of Life.
That's what it. You wanted, right?
Mongo only pawn in Game of Life. That's Alex Karras as Mongo in Blazing Saddles. One of the greatest all-time lines in movie history, as far as I'm concerned. Only pawn in Game of Life, as we all are. So I wanted to take a moment to kind of get that out there today, because Karras, yes, he was a great football player. He certainly showed he had great personality. He certainly showed that he had talent away from the football field, but he also epitomized, to me, old school football and was a real, what I would consider, cornerstone of what the NFL is today. Real cornerstone. Here's a guy that we all, as NFL fans, should be giving a debt of gratitude today toward, because of the league being built on the backsides of guys like him.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Six of one, half dozen another, right?
Is Paper Lion on DVD? Do you know?
It's got to be somewhere, I would think, right?
Because I would really like to see that. I think I've only ever seen like a couple of clips of it. I've never seen the whole film. I'd love to go back and watch that.
Paper Lion?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing it. It actually is I loved it. And he did it as well, I believe, for the Baltimore Colts, too.
Oh, he did?
I believe he did, because I do remember him being with, was it the Colts? I thought it was the Colts. Colts or the Cardinals? I can't remember. I thought I remembered him being together in some documentary thing with Johnny Unitas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, maybe I was thinking Earl Morrill too, because Morrill, I believe, was a quarterback on that Lions team that he was on as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I think so. I may be crossing my genre, you know, or my
well, if
my
anybody
stories.
Has that on DVD or knows if it's available,
paper line.
Let me know.
A hilarious clip when I was looking for what I just found of Mongo like punching,
slugging the
horse.
Yeah,
you've never seen Blazing Saddles?
No.
Oh man,
come on!
I'll have to watch it though because I was watching a little bit of the other clips.
Yeah,
and he just walks up and
smokes the horse. That's exactly right. The horse was not hurt; it was a trick.
Yeah,
so no need to go call the SPCA. One of the greatest all-time scenes, I think, in comedic movie history is the campfire scene. And if you're a guy, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're a woman, you're going, ooh! And you've seen this movie, right?
Yeah.
But it was pretty funny. Pretty funny. So there are a lot of great, shall we say, sophomoric guy-type scenes in this movie. There's a lot of non-politically correct stuff going on in this movie. But it's great because it's almost nowadays refreshing because you have to be so careful what you say. You're afraid of offending somebody. This movie offended everybody and every living thing that ever lived.
Unless you're South Park and you can get away with it. That's the only thing that really gets away with anything.
Yeah, South Park would probably be an animated version of Blazing Saddles. They're getting away with the same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's what Blazing Saddles actually got away with. And
you will respect my authority!
Alex Karras was certainly a huge part of that movie with his character, Mungo. All right, so there you go. Webradio at patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. John.Rook on Facebook, at jrook0722 on Twitter. When you think Seattle, what do you think of? What comes up, what pops up into your head? Now, it doesn't matter. It can be football. It can be the city. It can be the territory. It can be the uniform. It can be anything but Seattle. What comes into the head? What pops into the mind? What are you thinking when you're thinking Seattle? Little social experiment here. And we're going to get to some of those answers. And we'll begin taking a look at that football team that occupies Seattle coming up in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel & Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 up megabits per second available.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
I think we need another piece of music to go with this, Kev. How about Blondie's Call Me?
I can arrange that.
We might have to redo this one. I don't know. I heard Blondie on the radio earlier today. I have the whole Sirius XM thing, you know, going on in the car.
Why don't you go more modern day? Why don't you get Carly Rae Jepsen?
Oh, Carly Rae Jepsen? Yeah. Call Me Maybe?
Yeah.
No, because... What, 2 weeks ago, maybe?
Did we?
Remember we played that?
Oh, that's right. The K-Fan thing from Minneapolis. Yeah, the referee thing. We did play that here
did
on
you?
The show. Yes.
Yeah, you should make that a bumper, though.
KFAN in Minneapolis did an unbelievable spoof on the whole Call Me Maybe.
Yeah.
With the replacement refs.
Oh, really?
Hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. Really good. I've got it on my Facebook page. You can go find it on my Facebook page if you want. Or I bet you can probably just Google it and find it on YouTube even at some point, right? Hold on a second here. Let me get you there so we can... And there. Ta-da. So, a couple of the things that we're talking about today in terms of what we got going on the program. Seattle and what it means to you. Eric is going to come up with his daily word. See, somebody's already asking for it here on...
Asking for the word of the day?
All right, let's get to it. Hey, guys, I believe you were asking fans to come up with a word or other topic the other week, and out of my own personal curiosity, I thought I would give it a shot. My word would be game day superstitions. That's three words.
That's
not everyone. Well, it is. Come on.
Okay.
Not everyone is superstitious, especially when it comes to their sports teams. But some of the ones who are... carry some very odd superstitions or pregame rituals. My superstition is to never let the Patriots jersey, hat, or other garb touch the ground. It's a little weird, I know, but it's still like the stars and stripes. I've heard some pretty strange stories asking around myself, so I bet you could get something much better going on. You know what they say, it's only weird if it doesn't work. This is Josh from Seaville. Game day superstitions. All right, Josh, I'm going to tell you what. That's a great idea. We're going to hold on to that one.
What's Seaville?
Charlottesville, Virginia.
Oh.
Okay. Josh from Seville.
Gotcha.
I do believe I got that right, though. Okay. Let's lead it off with Steve at UC Davis, who emails us and says, oddly enough, I think of Amazon.com because of their headquarters are in Seattle.
Okay. Yep.
See, I wasn't even sure that that was the case. So now I learned something.
Microsoft
today.
Is also in that area, right?
Right.
Seattle area?
Via Twitter. Mm-hmm. This comes from at Patriots Haven. About to go on Patriots Playbook with at JRook0722.
What a shameless self-promoter.
At PFW Eric. Tune in.
Man, I'm telling you. Kid.
All right. I guess we should let him.
Like he thinks anybody cares that he's coming on with us.
I was waiting for this guy. Oh, boy.
What's up?
What's going on, guys?
I mean, you should have let him hang on until the very end. Yep, coming on with them any minute now. Right, going to be there.
You
sure
really,
am.
You really stuck your neck out on that.
Seriously.
Jeez.
You're lucky I'm not running the controls today, Derek. You'd have been hanging on until 3:59.
Oh, come on. You know, Eric, I got class to go to.
Oh, you have no class.
You don't go to class.
You're like school in the summertime. No class. Nice.
Good one. Good
nice.
One.
That's old Fat Albert joke.
Hey, by the way, I put the link to the show, too. I didn't just plug myself for the hell of it.
I know. I'm just giving you
of
help.
Of course.
Hey, by the way, Eric, you really need to check out that replacement ref spoof. That really was.
Oh, really?
Good.
It was good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was funny.
It was the exact soundtrack to Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe, but they had one of their production guys at K-Fan in Minneapolis write the words and do the voice to it, and it was hysterical.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely
oh, yeah.
hysterical. It was spot on, too. Very well written.
One of the better spoofs I've ever, like, heard. I mean, it was all the way through the song. I mean, mm-hmm. It made sense. It was funny.
Give me the link. Send me the link.
Yeah, okay. I can do that for you.
Bet you can YouTube in about 3 seconds flat.
I know, but I like to have people do those.
Okay. All right, baby. What's happening?
What's going on, man? Nothing. I'm looking forward to this week. I went to Seattle. I was like 9, so you know, it's been a long time, but it rained a lot. I did go to that fish market that I think Eric was talking about. That was pretty cool. And, yeah, I think Microsoft there and Nintendo's there, I believe, too. I think I went there back in the day, but... I don't know. I think those uniforms are cool in Seattle.
Yeah,
and
they really are.
Crazy. So,
I've never been a huge fan of Seattle, period. And I think it's probably because I don't know enough about the city and or the teams there. Now, I remember when Seattle first came into the NFL, you know, I thought their uniforms were too Dallas Cowboy-like, you know, with the silver helmets at the time and all that kind of stuff, as you'll recall. And Steve Largent, great receiver, one of the all-time
vibrant
greats.
Color scheme, though.
Yeah, I liked it because they didn't have that kind of that blue-green-ish, which now is a predominant color for that team. And they changed it up. It's a little darker, a little bolder. And I got to admit, the new unis, I dig.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, probably the best one since, you know, the Nike took over.
And the Nike one, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
They're cool. I mean, you know, they incorporated that lime green color, which...
Yep.
But they didn't overdo the lime green like they did for Oregon and for Baylor. Yeah. Remember Baylor's basketball uniforms?
Nike, I love Nike. I've been a Nike man since I was 5 years old. I absolutely love the company. I buy all my sneakers from them, but they are killing me with these college uniforms. Relax. Relax with the college uniforms. They're just destroying it.
Some people love it so much and just like it.
They're hideous.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
But it's gonna be a good game this weekend. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, the Patriots, you know, their offense is rolling, you know, tops in the NFL. Seattle's defense is ranked tops in the NFL. I don't know. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on the game? What concerns you?
Bill Belichick going against the rookie quarterback. You have to like his your team's chances historically.
Especially with a team that doesn't seem to have a lot of threat in terms of stretching the field.
Yeah.
Their receivers and offensive line are suspect. So I think it comes down to the trenches in this game a little bit. I think the Patriots have to win both matchups. The offensive line is terrible. I mean, Max Unger, I think, is the center. He's pretty much their only real good offensive lineman. You know, you have Russell Wilson. You don't really have a lot of receivers. It's going to be all about taking away Marshawn Lynch, which Belichick has shown that, you know, when you're facing a team, he can take away what they do best, more times than not. And so I think they really focus on him. And if they can stop, you know, if they can stop him, I think they have a really good chance of winning this game.
Yeah, I agree. And they have done fairly well against good backs so far this year in the first few weeks, you know, starting off with Chris Johnson. Limiting him. And now, obviously, Chris Johnson's not having a 2K-type year. But still, they've had production against opposing running games. And I think you're right. They shut him down, and they force Wilson to make plays.
Who I like. I like Wilson.
Yeah, I do, too.
He's there yet.
I do, too.
He doesn't have a lot to work with.
My only concern is that, you know, the secondary, the Patriots' secondary is still not quite where I'd like it to be.
Here's the problem. You decide to take away the running game, you risk making Wilson look like an all-pro.
Yeah.
If you're not careful.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I just think I'm hoping Chandler Jones steps up this game because I know he won, you know, Rookie Defensive Player of the Month, and, you know, he had a couple sacks early. It seems like him and really the rest of the four-man rush are just a split second late these past couple of weeks. I mean, they're getting there, but they're not getting there. And they're really leaving the secondary out to dry. I mean, I'm not really making too many excuses they're not getting as much rush as they should with four men. I mean, they're just not.
No, and they're also going, I mean, to be fair, Peyton Manning is a guy who doesn't really get sacked that often either. He's done this a few times. He knows how to avoid those kind of things.
I was just talking about him in general. I was talking about just the past couple of weeks.
No, I know. Yeah, I mean, even in Buffalo, you're right. I mean, they made plays, but not necessarily on Fitzpatrick.
I think he should win the Russell Okung matchup, too. Okung has had a lot of problems, since he came out of, I want to say, was it Oklahoma State?
Yes. Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Right, so he, he's had some really struggles. He'll be taken pretty high too. So I don't know. I mean, offensively for the Patriots, they scored the most points in the league this year. Seattle actually, the only team who's given up less points in Seattle is San Francisco. Held teams to less points in San Francisco. So there, it's gonna be a pretty good matchup. I'll tell you though, between the crowd noise, two big physical corners who like to kind of disrupt the timing of an offense, and that pass rush, that's a pretty good matchup for the Patriots offense. I mean, I still think the Patriots win out, but cause I just don't think there's a defense that can kind of contain the talent that they have. But I mean, they have some weapons on defense, if you want to call them that. I mean, they have the ability to match up pretty well, I think.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by. Remember last week, John, when we had Lindsey Jones on,
right?
Talking about the Broncos and how much they substitute.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, I said, do you think that we'll see a lot more no huddle from New England as a result of that? And that's exactly what the game plan was. And it worked to perfection for them. I'm interested to see whether or not New England tries the hurry-up approach against the Seattle defense, not because of their substitution, but because, like Derek said, they have some playmakers there, and just to try to get them tired. Try to grind them down a little bit and put them on their heels because they were going rapid fire through their plays.
Yeah, but let me ask this question: when has the hurry up not really worked?
I can't pinpoint any specific examples off the top of my head.
I can't think about it right now.
But I did do a story on the no huddle last year around midseason, and what I came away with after studying all the numbers was that they were as effective in the no huddle as they were out of the no huddle, as far as scoring points.
So it was
kind of a wash, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I really like the change up pace, though. I mean, if they do just the regular tempo, kind of just huddle, run the ball, huddle, throw the ball, and then all of a sudden they go really fast. I mean, that was an incredible pace they ran.
Here's why they do that, and Tom Brady did allude to this. They run the hurry up in order to put pressure on the other team.
Yeah.
It may be a wash in terms of the results, as you suggested, Eric, but they do it because it puts the other team under pressure.
If they can get in a matchup,
favorable
matchup,
yes.
Right.
And I think that's the goal, to try to get into a favorable matchup. And so I assume that if they feel like it gives them a favorable matchup, this is something they will try to do. Now, normally when you have a hard-charging team, and let's face it, it looks like Seattle has one of those. They rush pretty well up front. They've obviously got a kid in Bruce Irvin who, is playing with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder as as a first-round draft pick, and he's obviously and he's looked pretty good so far. He's having some success. You probably want to try to kind of go right at these guys and leave them on the field and not let them get off the field. And so you probably want to try to see what they have, and I think that would be a great way to determine that. If they're gonna play back and make us beat them on the ground, we'll be happy to do that. But if they're gonna play, eight in the box, we'll be happy to go over the top against, and test some of their bigger, defensive backs.
Yeah, I mean, you think the pass rush for them with Chris Clemens and Bruce Irvin, has been really, really successful. And it's been working out. They're harassing quarterbacks, and I'm sure you guys saw what they did to Aaron Rodgers. On that, when they play a couple, what was that, week three? But, I mean, they have a really strong pass rush. They also have a really good, run defense, too. I think they're only giving up like 66, 67 yards on the ground a game. So, I mean, I'm curious to see if how Ridley does running the ball. And by the way, I really hope Belichick, starts him this week still. I'd be disappointed if he was
for the fumble,
just because of the fumble.
But I am concerned about that a little bit, though. But The reason I'm concerned is because, you know, it happened in college and it's happened a little bit this season, whether it went out of bounds or not. And, you know, the one thing I'll say about that, though, is I'm optimistic because you've seen people like Adrian Peterson, Tiki Barber, Kevin Falk. You know, you've seen those guys, you know, kind of make adjustments. And you can correct, you know, technique, but you can't teach talent. And I think he has talent, so it's a technique issue.
Yeah, and you don't want to get to a point with him where he's constantly thinking about not fumbling.
Right.
Because that's the worst thing, and he's not thinking about just running the ball and being natural out there.
All right, Big D, we're going to let you go. We got others on the line, but thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It's good talking to you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, you will.
All right,
thank you.
To class now.
Derek from the University of Arizona. Brooklyn Matt wants to check in and wants to ask you something about Seattle. Brooklyn Matt, welcome to the playbook.
Hey, John. Hey, Eric. How are you guys?
You ready for the Nets?
Huh? Oh, I'm ready for the Nets, for sure. Jay-Z just finished a string of 8 free concerts over there at the Barclays Center.
All right.
But the Nets, have you seen those horrible uniforms?
I've only seen the white ones with the navy blue lettering.
I think there's something classic about them.
Kind of like the Yankees. Just simple.
They're black and white. They look like the San Antonio Spurs uniforms.
I'm partial to black and white basketball uniforms, being a Providence College fan.
I wanted them to go back to the 1970s Dr. J ABA Nets.
Oh, boy.
Does that include the tight, short shorts?
Yeah.
No, but it was really nice red, white, and blue. And the outside of the Barclays Center looks horrible. It's like all rust-colored. And it's supposed to go along with Brooklyn. I guess it does. You know, degradation and decay.
Okay.
Which sort of gets me over to the Seattle. Eric, you said you think of coffee. When do you think of Seattle?
That's one of the things, yeah. Other things.
I've always been fascinated with Seattle and the general Pacific Northwest, the whole area, Portland, Vancouver, and Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
My best friend moved out there right before the grunge revolution in the early 90s, and he was the fundraiser for the Seattle Symphony for 20 years, and he's just come back east. But there's a lot going on it's known for. Well, you got Frasier, the TV show Seattle.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right.
You
yep.
said you wanted to name things. You got Boeing Aircraft
yep.
Factories is over there.
Sure.
And the music is phenomenal.
Yeah, the music scene, grunge, obviously was a big part of the 90s.
That's why I remember Drew Bledsoe was heavy into
grunge. Drew Bledsoe was heavy into that, that's right.
Yeah.
From Walla Walla.
Walla
Walla.
Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains,
mm-hmm.
Soundgarden.
Yep.
Heart is from Vancouver. Sub Pop Records was the famous, and still is the famous, indie label that out there.
Dude, you didn't like Google this, did you?
No, I used to run
a
record label in New York City
Good.
For 15 years.
Good.
He's
awesome.
A music man. Great.
And Bruce Pavitt and Jonathan Pullman were the two masterminds that founded Sub Pop Records and signed all those bands and made a mint. And they've also built a museum out there. Jimi Hendrix is from Seattle.
Right. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's his hometown. And there's, Eric, you like to go to museums?
Yeah, they got the SAM,
mm-hmm.
Seattle Art Museum.
Yeah.
Big one that I didn't get to go to last time.
There's also this place called the EMP Museum. It's Seattle's Museum for Music, Pop Culture, and Sci-Fi.
We may have to start calling you Seattle Matt.
I love the whole Pacific Northwest. The X-Files took place.
That's right. They filmed in Vancouver.
Yeah.
That's right.
And just the rain and the pine tree forests. It's mm-hmm. just a very mysterious area.
What's the vampire series that all the kids like?
Twilight?
Yeah. Isn't Twilight in the Seattle area?
Yes, that also is set in the north, up there.
Oh, in the Pacific Northwest, at least, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
And then there's this whole social deviant factor of the Pacific Northwest.
That's why you like it.
Now we're getting
somewhere.
Okay, got it.
It's like red light district. When Seattle was a big red light district.
Really?
When all the forestry industry, all the the lumberjacks.
Red light district
town.
And forestry. Nice.
Yeah.
That's two things I want to be known for.
I guess they were known for their wood then, huh?
Oh.
Yeah,
Wow.
The Lumberjacks, John. What are you thinking of? What's the matter with you?
Come on.
Oh, you're sickening. You disgust me.
You're a liar.
Yep. There's a lot of brothels in Seattle, and also the link to Portland, My Private Idaho, takes place in Portland. And as you know, Eric, that's about male prostitution. Sorry, River.
What do you mean, as I know? What do you mean, as I know? What the hell are you trying to say?
I was about to say, oh, my God. Jeez. Yeah, it's like he knows that.
And then one last thing the Pacific Northwest is famous for is serial killers. Ted Bundy,
that's right. Yep.
Both were based camp in Seattle and the general area.
There's also
Vancouver
the Hanks movie.
Is known for its teenage runaway population and its homelessness problem.
Wow.
And everybody always says if you're a vagrant or on the run, the best place to make sure that you don't get found and if you want to hole up somewhere for a while is go to the Pacific Northwest. There's a lot of, those sorts of types are drawn to that area.
Hmm.
Which so, I think kinda
like
adds to the whole flavor of the place.
Kind of like the North American version of Bangkok, Thailand.
Yes.
Isn't that where...
Bangkok, you could take the train to Seattle as well.
Isn't that the same area, Washington State maybe, where... what's the biggest... plane hijack story that was unsolved.
Yeah,
I can't think of the name of the.
I think you're right.
From SeaTac Airport.
There was a
Seattle Tacoma.
I think so, but there was like a hijacked plane back in like the 70s, and the guy who hijacked the plane parachuted out with all this money.
Right.
And they never found.
And
they disappeared. He disappeared, and they never found any trace of it. What the hell was the name of that guy?
I remember what you're talking about. I remember the story.
Shoot, yeah. Place to disappear.
I think that's where it was.
Leave no traces of yourself.
Wow.
And yeah.
Sounds like you need to get there.
Hey, a place after my own heart. I always keep one step ahead.
Thanks, Matt. Awesome job right there, huh?
Yeah.
Awesome job. I think we know everything we need to know about
Seattle. We've also glanced over one of the most obvious pop culture references, the Sleepless in Seattle.
Of course. That's true.
Tom Hanks movie.
Right. Ken in North Carolina, you're in the playbook. Hey, Ken.
Hey, John.
Thanks for hanging on.
You're asking about Seattle.
Yes, sir.
My thoughts? Very fond. My family is from there.
Oh, great.
Even though I was born on the East Coast.
Yep.
My father always said it took us 10 generations to get to the West Coast and one to get back East.
Okay. What does that say about the West Coast?
if either you guys or anybody's going to be out there, especially you, Eric, I know you kind of like the history of the area.
Sure.
There is something there called the Bush School, B-U-S-H School. And it was started by my grandmother. Oh, I'd say somewhere around 1920.
That's Bush. Bush League.
And it is one of the finest secondary schools in the country.
Okay.
We have always supported it, my father and myself, because of our family. But one of the interesting things that you will see there, besides some very nice art, is a letter from George Washington written during the Revolution.
Wow.
That we had, actually, when I was a kid, I would take it to show and tell, first, second, third grade, and a couple of paper bags.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's really amazing. Does your family still have that?
It is at the Bush School now.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Did the kids in third grade say, hey, isn't this the same letter you showed us in second and first grade?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
It was no big deal back then. I would go, okay, well, so what? The guy wrote a letter.
Yeah.
it was scribed by his scribe and signed by George Washington.
Wow.
And it is at the Bush School, and it is the original. I have copies in my office.
Very cool.
The other two great memories when I was about 14, and I'm an old man. This was, 1963 or something. My father took the whole family on a car trip west, and we went from San Diego to Vancouver and stopped at all our family that were still around from California all the way up. And I spent about 2 weeks, and it was just wonderful.
Nice.
With my aunt and her family.
All right, so I'm going to ask you, though, Ken, I'm going to ask you, when you hear the word Seattle, what's the first thing that pops in your head?
I came home from Vietnam and landed at Lewis and went straight downtown.
Okay.
Because I was done.
Wow.
And now that was something after 18 months.
Did you go to one of those brothels that Brooklyn Matt was talking about?
Didn't need it.
Oh, excuse us.
Nicely said.
Hell, why pay for it when you walk in a bar and get whatever you want?
Well, hey.
Wow. Oh, I like it.
Knocking him dead, Ken.
Ken's showing it. Yep, he's showing it. Got some swag.
You went with your uniform on?
Not back in 1971.
No, that wasn't actually a very popular thing to do in 71.
As a matter of fact, if I could have made my hair grow 10 times faster, mm-hmm. it would have been better.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't shave all the way home.
Yeah. I believe it. Good stuff, Ken. Good stuff.
But no, Seattle, and I don't know much, you know, really about the Seahawks other than what I've been reading, but I think this is going to be a really fun game to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is. And remember, the last time we were there in 2008, we had Matt Cassel as the starter.
Right.
And I believe the Seahawks had Seneca Wallace in that game.
Had a horrible season that year, and we had a hard time beating
him. Anyway, a very hard time beating it. It came down to Brandon Merriweather getting a strip sack at the end of the game to seal the victory. It was a tougher game than people had expected. And I think it's going to be a similar type situation. I think it's going to be closer than people think.
Ken, thanks so much for the phone call. I want to get a couple of Facebook posts in here. Michael says, Seattle is a beautiful city.
Yeah.
Great place to start a cruise. Seahawks have neat uniforms. One of the few times I think the word neat is acceptable. Neat uniforms and a nice stadium.
Great stadium, John. That's one of the top five in the league.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. As for the Seahawks, Pete Carroll is a great college coach. He is not a good NFL coach. I always thought that Pete Carroll got a kind of a bum rap for the 3 years that he spent here. And I think largely
what about the 1 year in New York?
He was certainly competitive in that 1 year in New York, wasn't he? And wasn't he at least competitive?
Not enough to keep the job.
No, but I thought he didn't do a terrible job. I just thought he might have been a little miscast. I think maybe he found himself more as a head coach in the college ranks. And then, of course, as we all know, he beat the law out of town at USC.
A lot of similarities, I think, between him and Rick Pitino in that they're guys who their niche is the college game. And they, for some reason, keep wanting to come back to the pros. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But I think eventually you'll see Pete back at a college program.
It says Pete successfully left USC after the NCAA found out what he was up to, which is true. He's a poor judge of personnel. And then he says, one of my college friends is a Yakima Indian from Yakima, Washington, in eastern Washington State. I rode with his father in a logging truck from eastern Washington down to Portland, Oregon, some of the most beautiful countryside you can see. All right, Michael, thank you for sharing that. John says, Johnny, each August, tens of thousands of hemp-friendly people attend the Seattle Hemp Fest. This is the largest annual festival that celebrates all of the beneficial aspects of cannabis hemp. No lie, Clyde. And then he also says, rest in peace, Mungo, which I would agree with. Mm-hmm. I had not. I figured. Well, my buddy JD here. I figured he would probably know a little bit about the Hemp Fest, or he knows about all things hemp.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he does.
Big proponent.
Yes, he is. Just ask him; he'll tell you.
You want to get high?
Well, that's just one of the things that you can do with hemp, I suppose.
Wear it. They have a lot of clothing with hemp.
Could be. Could be quite a few. All right, let me get one or two emails in here, then we'll continue with the thought. Again, if you are just joining us here inside the playbook on this Wednesday, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline, John.Rook on Facebook, at JRook0722, Twitter. When you think Seattle, What pops in your head? You can do anything to do with the area, the city, the Seahawks team, anything. We're trying to do a little bit of a little social experiment here. So when you think Seattle, what do you conjure in your head? That's kind of what we're worried about here. For instance, Stephen, we had his. He thinks of Amazon.com because of their headquarters in Seattle. Wally from Fort Lauderdale says, Seattle, dismal. He says, it's too close to Alaska and Sarah Palin.
Can see it from your front lawn.
Come on. Let's be nice. Robin, what? Okay, Robin in Alaska.
He can see it from his front lawn.
We're going to lay more pipe.
Yeah, we're going to lay more pipe, too. Robin in Alaska says, when I think of Seattle, I first think friendly. I've only been in Seattle via SeaTac, which is the Seattle-Tacoma Airport, always with the family and always on the way to John Wayne Airport in Disneyland. Everyone I've met in Seattle's airport has been seemingly sincerely friendly, and not just friendly, but intelligently friendly. So well done, SeaTac visitors and staff. Hmm. See, well, that's a definite thumbs up. That's Chamber of Commerce type stuff, right? All right, but, however, when it comes to Seattle's football team, and this is sort of getting around to the, you know, full circle here, a big picture of it all, what stands out to you about this football team?
I think their defense right now, and the fact that they have the rookie quarterback who has flashes of brilliance, I'd say. You know, I think that makes them competitive enough against, you know, teams like Green Bay, who's not having a great year, but... I think you could argue that even the undefeated teams aren't having great years. It's that kind of year in the league. And Seattle's defense, opportunistic, hungry type, and their rookie quarterback is giving them just enough of a spark that they're not out of any game. Seems like
they're hanging in.
They're hanging in. They're hanging around.
And that's what worries me, I think, the most about the game this week. Mm. There's a great unknown. I think Seattle's defense will certainly get tested.
Yeah.
But at the same
time, it's a loud crowd.
Yeah, it's a loud,
very loud crowd.
If you don't start out strong and you allow that crowd to get into it and you get that defense rolling a little bit on that other side, Patriots can find themselves in some difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. By the way, Raymond sends this on Facebook. The name of the guy we were looking for, the parachuted from the plane?
Oh, yeah.
D.B. Cooper.
Yes. Excellent. Well done. That's who I was thinking of.
Thank you, Raymond. Appreciate that. All right. Big E, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you want the word before I left?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather around the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
I should bring in a pipe next time.
We should. Mm-hmm. We should bring in the pipe, lovey.
All right. Today's word, John.
Yes.
Vitiate.
Vitiate.
V-I-C-I-A-T. No, T. V-I-T.
Oh. V-I-T-I-A-T-E? Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Means to corrupt or degrade the value or quality of something. Used in a sentence. The call by Derek from the University of Arizona served to vitiate today's playbook.
No, that's funny. I can't believe that.
We didn't even talk about that at
all. We did not talk about that. Honest to goodness. That was. I was thinking, oh, you mean like how Derek vitiates this program? Oh, my goodness.
We're only serious, Derek. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, vitiate.
Vitiate.
I like it. We learned something here today. And we're learning about Seattle. But we can't learn more unless you participate. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. In the second hour, we're also going to hear from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady here in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hope top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
Tuesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.
Welcome back inside the Playbook for hour number 2. I'm John, and you can join the program. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We've been talking about Seattle, what really comes to your mind when you think Seattle, because the Patriots have the Seattle Seahawks coming up this Sunday. Tim, who I know is from that part of the country, sends this on Facebook. He says, Seattle is where I met my wife, so a place I always hold dear. On top of that, it's a very walkable city and easy to explore safely. Starbucks, it's actually affordable there. And the Seahawks are not ready to take their next step yet. Their defense is for real, but the offense is one-dimensional. If we don't turn the ball over or give up special teams touchdowns, I don't think they can hang with the good guys. I honestly believe that's sort of the general consensus at this early stage. But I will tell you that Seattle's ability to stuff the run thus far, although you could make an argument they haven't really faced a running game like what the Patriots apparently have developed for themselves, but that does cause at least a little bit of concern when you consider they're only giving up 66 yards a game on the ground. They do have big, physical defensive backs. Sounds to me like, you know, they would try, if any team would be capable of trying, they would try to man up against a guy like Rob Gronkowski. Now, you try that at your own risk, of course. And if they're able to do that, then it's going to be, you know, up to, you know, Gronk not only to, you know, get the yak, the yards after the catch, but also to find Welker underneath. Because, as we had somewhat explained earlier in the program, Seattle, if there is a vulnerability, if there is an Achilles heel of that defense, it may be in the middle. So that's where you want to try to attack him. It would at least appear at this stage. But I will be curious to see if the Patriots do pull out some of the no-huddle, hurry-up offense, and whether or not that does anything to really help or hurt the cause. Because quite frankly, if you go hurry up, if you do the no-huddle, and Seattle comes up with two or three big plays in a row, and they knock you out flat in 30 seconds, and you've got to give the football up, you're talking about playing right into the whirlwind of emotion that can be that stadium with the noise and everything else it's got a reputation for. And to me, that's not what you want to do when you go on the road. You want to go on the road, you want to seize control, you want to take that momentum away, and as Tom Brady said earlier, and you're going to get a chance to hear it in just a little bit here on the program, you want to try to turn the home crowd against the home team. That's the goal of every visiting team going into any venue. It would be pretty hard to do that if you play right into their hands by screwing up with a no-huddle. So this will be a real, I think this will be a nice chess match. You know, I can't imagine that Pete Carroll wouldn't still like to show New England, you know, hey, I'm still worth something here. You know, I had to go off and maybe play my trade in the college ranks for a while before I got back to the pros. But, you know, he was the head coach here for 3 years in the late 90s, 97, 98, 99. He came in on the heels of the Bill Parcells era. It was the first time, really, that the Kraft family, Mr. Kraft, Bob Kraft in particular, made a hire as a coach. Because Parcells kind of came with James Bush Orthwine, those of you that will recall the history of the franchise. So because of that, you know, I think both Robert Kraft and Pete Carroll kind of learned in a little trial-by-fire era. And I think that while Pete may or may not be the best judge of talent, I think he did the best with what he could, considering the way that the hierarchy was set up at the time. And, of course, because of what happened with Pete Carroll, that's how the Patriots ultimately decided, you know what, we need somebody to come in here and just run the ship, kind of like Bill Parcells did. Enter Bill Belichick, and the rest, as they say, is history. So a little bit of the background there on the whole Pete Carroll issue. To the emails. Sean in Maryland. Well, I've never been there personally, but after sitting in the rain at the Patriots game this weekend, I couldn't imagine that every weekend getting soaked. I hate the rain, but other than that, I would imagine it's a fun place to live. But the one thing I do love about Seattle is their jerseys. Absolutely love the jerseys. How do you guys feel about the Patriots changing to that urban Nike look? I know it's impossible while Belichick is the coach, but maybe post-Brady and Belichick. That's a question that's probably already been asked, I would imagine. But I'm not sure how you could do, you know, the Patriots red, white, and blue without kind of funking it up a little bit. And I don't know that that would work. G4 Driver in Georgia. John, I really like your little what do you think situations. Last year or the year before, you asked how many states have you been to, and I said all 50. Well, I spent some time in Seattle, and the thing that pops into my mind first is the color green. They get so much rain up there that everything's green, green, green. Which brings me to the word of the day, verdant. Like my tie-in? Okay, well, we already gave the word of the day officially, but good try there, G4. He also thinks of the great shoreline views. I'll pass this one on to Eric, by the way. Yeah, you know, I also, like you, G4, have been to all 50 states. Very privileged to have been there. I did not get a chance to spend a lot of time in Seattle. So that's why I asked the question. It's one of the great cities, I think, in our country that I'd really love to get back to and actually spend time in, like days, rather than literally hours like I've done on a couple of occasions. Josh from Seaville. We did this one already. Okay. Chris in Seattle. Hey, here we go. John, having lived in Seattle since 95, when I think of Seattle, I think of a great lifestyle. Love it here. It's a city, yes, and it has even become more cosmopolitan in the last 15 or so years. But for the most part, quality of life is a high priority here. Not to say things don't sometimes get fast-paced, because they do, but for the most part, the culture here is set up for a good work-life balance, emphasis on culture, yes, coffee and conversation, too. When I got here, there was a huge baseball frenzy culminating in a 116-win season. Yeah, I remember that season by the Mariners, and they didn't do anything with it. But since then, I'd say football has taken over, as it has across the country. There's a very loyal and garish, in thanks part to the neon green, fan base. And I admit, when they're not playing the Pats, I'm cheering them on. I was at the last Pats-Hawks showdown in 08, but alas, we'll be watching this one at home. I'm still very excited, and we'll be in full Pats regalia as I'm out and about the remainder of the week. And by the way, I've seen games at Gillette and Quest, or he means CenturyLink, which is what it's known as now, CenturyLink Field. And there is really no comparison in noise. This stadium is loud. I think he means CenturyLink. Chris gives his prediction already. He says Pats 29, Seahawks 23. Jobo in Seattle, or actually north. He says, I live 8 hours north of Vancouver. And us British Columbians aren't doing much without hockey. I'm a longtime Canuck fan, bloody Bruins, and a huge Pats fan. I make the trip to Boston every other year to watch a game, and I was in Seattle 10 years ago when I was a kid to watch WrestleMania. Cool. I didn't like anything about it. It's cold, wet, gray, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. Oh, and the Seahawks jerseys look terrible, he says. Best thing about Seattle was leaving Seattle. This is Jordan from Prince George, B.C., which he says is equally as horrible. Yikes. Thank you, Jordan. Clay in Foster, Rhode Island says, Seattle, cloudy and drizzle with the drowned worms on your driveway. Must be his overwhelming memory or his thought of Seattle. The drowned worms? Is that when the ground is saturated and they come up for oxygen or whatever and they crawl out on your driveway? I've heard that happening before. I'm not going to share that on the air. Oh, can't do that. Okay. Yes, I know. I've seen it. It's the fake Facebook post by quarterbacks. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's been making the run around Facebook. It's pretty funny. I have seen it. Thank you, Stephen, for sending it. And then we've had a couple of people send in, yes, the name of the parachuter hijacker was D.B. Cooper, which we got to. Arthur says, by the way, gentlemen, Jimi Hendrix, was from Tacoma, not Seattle. So I guess a little bit of a difference there. I did not know either one, but Brooklyn Matt said that he thought it was from Seattle, and now we've got Arthur telling us that Jimi Hendrix was from Tacoma. D.B. Cooper escaped with the money by parachuting out of the aircraft, has never been found, and that's it. Okay. Thank you, Arthur. Golfchick, Gretchen, says, FYI, yes, D.B. Cooper, who hijacked the plane and jumped, I hear every year or so about someone trying to find his remains. Diana, in Seattle. I'm a Texas girl living deep in the heart of cowboy land, and there's one word that comes to mind for Seattle, granola. Needless to say, I'm a huge, huge Patriots fan. I'm making my first trip there on Friday to watch the Patriots take on the Seahawks, which is like a dream come true. My husband and I plan on taking the site in the sights downtown, maybe even take an excursion for a wine tour. It'll be a fun weekend, but the highlight will be getting a chance to see my favorite team play in person, counting down the hours and minutes. Always enjoy listening to your show. Thank you, Diana. Appreciate that. My friend Robin says, I always think of Pete Carroll when I hear Seattle. She's just a Pete Carroll fan. She's sorry that Pete Carroll ever left New England. She may be the only one, but indeed, she's sorry that Pete Carroll ever left New England. I can personally vouch for that. Tim comes back and says, play action all day in the game this weekend. The running game has earned that. By the way, I'm not actually from here. I just live here now. I'm originally from across the pond via a dozen or so years in Maine and or New Hampshire. I think I remember that about you, Tim. I think we have had that discussion before, that you're sort of a transplanted Easterner, but have been out there for a few years. Michael says on Facebook, silent snap counts may be an important aspect to the Patriots' offense if the crowd noise is an element to contend with. How well can the hurry-up offense work with a silent snap count? You know, to me, the silent snap count has always been sort of an enigma in terms of offensive weaponry. I've always wondered, at least at first, when I first saw a silent snap count, wondered, okay, so each of these guys have the snap count in their heads. They have to, because there's no signal for them to go. So it's incumbent upon the quarterback, clearly, to maintain the proper snap count. Otherwise, the linemen all jump off sides. Or he gets a bit of a surprise in terms of the snap when he's not looking at it and ready for it. So if you ever are looking at a situation with a quarterback in the shotgun and the football gets away from him or he's not looking, ball goes over his head, what have you, chances are, probably more often than not, it was a blown snap count by the quarterback. Just saying. But I always thought that that was something that, you know, clearly teams have to work on every week. And they can't go on the same snap count, because if they do, then obviously the other team is going to be able to tee off on it. So it takes a tremendous amount of discipline internally by a visiting team in a hostile environment, lots of noise, in order to be able to properly utilize the silent snap count. I'm sure that the Patriots will get tested by that this week. Brent says, Seattle makes me think of two things. One, the Space Needle. That's the first mention of the Space Needle other than what I said at the top of the hour. It says, one, the Space Needle. Two, the King Dome explosion. How about that one? You remember that? King Dome was imploded. What was that, back in the late 80s? King Dome, the dome structure there. They had the Mariners play in and had the original Seahawks play in, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty good explosion. I do remember that. Good stuff, Brent. All right, you come up with some good things. We've actually kind of run the gamut on a lot of different things where Seattle is concerned today. Obviously, there are no right or wrong answers here. But the idea was to sort of create a bit of a social experiment, if you will, just to see what pops into your head about, you know, Seahawks, about Seattle, about the area, because we don't really get a chance to do a lot of watching or listening or paying attention to Seattle because, as we all know, we're all mired in our own little, sequestered corner of the world here in New England. Chris says, I've been living in Seattle for almost 16 years. While I'm still a diehard Boston sports fan, I've been in love with Seattle the whole time I've been here. It's a great medium-sized city, lots of great culture, friendly people, beautiful scenery. By the way, it doesn't rain here as much as people say. From July 4th to today, we barely had any rain. Unfortunately, it seems that our luck will run out this weekend, as the forecast is for rain. It's admittedly one big cloud here from early November to late March. I just always make sure I take a trip to a warm place sometime during that time every year. And he says, regarding Jimi Hendrix, he may have lived in Tacoma for a short time, but he was definitely born in Seattle and lived many years here. Very good. So we've had some going back and forth on Jimi Hendrix origins today. Chris also says, I'm organizing two events for Patriots fans. This is Patriots fans Saturday night gathering at Spitfire, 2219 4th Avenue between Bell and Blanchard in Seattle. And I believe we mentioned this yesterday, so it sounds like there's a huge group of fans that are actually getting ready to gather at Spitfire in Seattle on Saturday, which would be the day before the game. So very cool to see that as well. And again, Spitfire 2219 4th Avenue between Bell and Blanchard Streets in the Belltown section of Seattle, which I'm told is the north side of downtown. Excellent. And then let me see one more here. Josh from Charlottesville says, when I think of Seattle, I immediately think of good defense and Skittle eating on the sidelines. Okay. Not a fan of Skittles, but I guess if Gronk can get his Dunkins, then Lynch can get his Skittles. I'm calling the game. Patriots win it 27-13. Keeping this one short because I've already emailed in today, but I'm very bored in this damn office today. Okay. Josh, that's why we're here, to help you get through the day, my friend. All right, we're going to take a timeout here, and we're going to get back to the business of football. And I thank you for all of your Seattle-isms today, because, frankly, we need to educate ourselves here. We do that with the word of the day and other things. And because Seattle's way out there, we're way over here, geographically speaking, I thought this would be a good opportunity to learn a little something about the place where the Patriots are headed this Sunday, if not before. Coming up, though, we are going to let you listen in to Bill Belichick with the Patriots media and also Tom Brady with the Patriots media to get their thoughts on the Pats and Seattle coming up right here in the playbook.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Been real impressed looking at Seattle here the last couple of days. I think Pete's done a really good job putting together, you know, the football team. They're young and they're good. They, of course, got in the playoffs in 07, beat New Orleans. That was a big win for them. Looks like they've just continued to get better individually and collectively each year. You know, watching them this year, they're very good on defense. They're very good in the kicking game. They're very good in the running game. They have a good balance of run, play, action. And, you know, with a young quarterback, I think they've, you know, he's done a really good job of getting the team to play at a high level and also acquiring some very, very good football players, good depth, good talent on the front line, good depth, and a lot of production. So, I think this is going to be a big challenge for us. All three phases are going to have to play well. They're capable of
smaller crowd. I like it.
You must like this.
I do.
Tom, can you, I guess, talk to us a little bit about the fact that if you've never been to Seattle, through your 13 years career, you've dealt with a lot of noise in the crowd, but does it concern you at all going there,
living
in that kind of situation?
I think anytime you go on the road, you expect it to be loud. So, you know, we practiced with that, and I know this is a very kind of get some attention around the league for how loud it is. I'm actually excited to get out there and you know, play in a place I'd never played. So, and I think what makes it loud is they're very good. So when they make plays, you know, the crowd is into it and they get a lot of support. And they certainly have been making a lot of them this year at home. Beat two very good teams at home, Dallas and Green Bay. And, you know, it's going to be a big challenge for us. And I'm excited to, you know, go out there and see what we can do.
Tom, is this one of those things, though, where you can have all the speakers in the world here trying to get ready for it, but you really won't know how to handle it until you actually experience what it is in that stadium?
Well, you just try to prepare as best you can. I think that's what you do. And you know, there's a lot of practices where, you know, we have music and we don't use any communication. So, you know, it's as loud as it possibly can be because you're not really communicating. You know, they certainly get loud when they make plays. And like I said, I think that's more that has more to do with the crowd noises. The fact that they can really play football, and they got a very good defense and the best one in the league statistically, you know, top five in almost every category. So they got players, you know, on the defensive line that are excellent, very good group of linebackers, and certainly a secondary, three of those guys were in the Pro Bowl. So I mean, they can play defense and they get it going. And, you know, offensively, if we make a bunch of mistakes, I'm sure it'll be very loud for us. But hopefully if we get the ball in the end zone, it'll quiet it down. But I think that's really our challenge.
Just having some of that one-word terminology from the no-huddle stuff, does that help to counterattack that noise and some of the things that could be distracting for you guys?
You know, I think there's times where we, you know, use a lot of words to communicate, and there's times where we don't. And I think no matter what we do, we have to go out and execute well. I think that, you know, good offensive football is about execution. It's not about how fast you play or how slow you play. It's about how well you do your job and how well you execute the play that's being called. So, you know, when you go on the road against a good team, you can't have mental errors. You can't have, you know, opportunities that we have and then not take advantage of them. So I think this team really, they don't give you a lot of opportunities. So when you get them, you better take advantage of them.
Everybody seems to talk about their secondary. What makes their secondary maybe one of the best in the league, if not the best?
Well, they're all, they're big, they're physical. You know, they cover very well for being big guys. You know, typically you find big corners that you have a hard time covering guys. I mean, these guys, you know, they cover everybody. So they're, you know, they're quick, they're physical, they really limit the yards after the catch because they're very good tacklers. I think they're very aggressive. They obviously study hard because they read a lot of route combinations. But, I mean, they're very talented. And, you know, I think our guys are pretty talented too, so it'll be nice to see how, you know, we match up against them.
Tom, speaking of talented, your defense has created, I think, 9 turnovers in the last 2 games. How beneficial, obviously, is that to you and what you guys are trying to do on offense with those forced turnovers by the UD?
Well, turnovers are always a big stat, and well, they really correlate to winning and losing games. So the more you turn it over, the less likely you are to win. I think we've done a great job of getting the ball off the other team. Like last week, I mean, that we it's a totally different game if we don't get that fumble.
Been real impressed looking at Seattle here the last couple of days. I think Pete's done a really good job putting together, you know, the football team. They're young and they're good. They, of course, got in the playoffs in 07, beat New Orleans. That was a big win for them. Looks like they've just continued to get better individually and collectively each year. You know, watching them this year, they're very good on defense. They're very good in the kicking game. They're very good in the running game. They have a good balance of run, play, action. And, you know, with a young quarterback, I think they've, you know, he's done a really good job of getting the team to play at a high level, and also acquiring some very, very good football players, good depth, good talent on the front line, good depth, and a lot of production. So I think this is going to be a big challenge for us. All three phases are going to have to play well. They're capable of you know, dominating any one phase, and it won't take much really to, you know, for them to make big plays. They've caused a lot of fumbles. They return kicks, they block kicks, they cover them. They have big plays in the passing game with their play action, bootleg game, Sidney Rice, Golden Tate, quarterback, Bashawn Lynch. I mean, that guy's a really good football player, and then defensively they've caused a lot of havoc in five weeks here. So, which they did last year as well. Really big corners, unusual, you know, Browner and Sherman. And you know, Chancellor's another big safety too. They're a big physical team, very disruptive up front. So this will be a big challenge for us. Good environment out there. You know, it'll be a energetic, hostile crowd like it always was, like we saw out there last time in '08. So we know what kind of temper or what kind of atmosphere it'll be, and you know, get a big challenge. We'll be ready to go out there. So that's, we have a big week ahead.
Russell Wilson, the numbers, the quote-unquote NFL numbers suggest maybe this kid shouldn't be as good as he is. Is he one of these quarterbacks that just overcomes these things and has the intangibles that just, for some reason, allows him to be successful?
I think he's got pretty good talent. I mean, he's athletic. He can definitely move around, avoid the rush. He's got good quickness in the pocket, can run. He's made a lot of good throws. He's made some good throws down the field. The play action touchdown that he hit to Golden Tate in the Green Bay game was a real good throw, big time. It's a West Coast offense, so a lot of that's based on 3- and 5-step drops, getting the ball out quick, getting it on time. He does that. He's got a good quick release. So, you know, he can definitely do that too, uses his tight ends and gets the ball to all the receivers. So, I think he looks pretty good. I can see why he's their starting quarterback. I mean, he played well in preseason, and he's done a solid job for him. I mean, it's a perfect no, but I think he's got talent.
Last couple weeks, you guys have seemed to flip-flop Rob and Chandler on the end a little bit. Is that a situational thing? Is that just to give tackles a different look, or is that...
Each week we look at our game plan and talk about matchups and that kind of thing. And sometimes it's to get a matchup. Sometimes it's because of what we're doing that makes it better for whatever reason, easier maybe, better. I'm trying to get guys in the right places, put them in position where they can do the things that they do the best or know how to do the best or whatever it happens to be. So it's no set thing. If we do it, obviously we have some reason for doing it. It could be on their side of the ball. It could be on our side of the ball. There's really, reasons you could do it either way. You could be both.
It's been a while since you've prepared a team in the face of Pete Carroll coached unit.
Yes.
Have you seen any common threads from when you did it in the 90s to
sure,
now?
Sure. No, I think Pete, absolutely no. I mean, Pete's, I have a lot of respect for Pete. I think he's a really good coach. Like I said, he's put together a real good team. His teams always play hard. They always have a lot of energy. They're a turnover-driven team. They take the ball away. They don't just wait for you to drop it. They go in there and aggressively take it away. They've caused, a lot of fumbles this year, 10, 11, whatever it is. They're very disruptive. They're long on defense, the corners, the safeties. Earl Thomas is really a good weak safety. He's tremendous. He has great range, speed, ball skills, anticipation. And these guys get their hands on a lot of balls. They knock them down. They tip them for interceptions. They're a hard group to throw against. And their front seven is very disruptive. They cause a lot of strip sacks. They strip the runners and receivers off of balls. Browner's done that already. He's done that two or three times this year. Thomas does it. Sherman, they all do it. I mean, you can see it's coaching. They emphasize it. They get it. And they got a lot of them. They get them in the kicking game. So I think, Pete does a good job of, they're fast, they're aggressive, they take the ball away, they're sound. I mean, they don't run like every trick play in the book. Defensively, they do what they do it well, and they've been very successful at it. That's a good football team now.
Bill, Alfonso made a couple of positive plays when he got in the game last week. What have you seen from him in practice? Basically,
that
allowed him to get on the field last week?
Well, that he performed well in practice. He's had some opportunities the last couple of weeks. He missed some time there earlier in the season. And he's had some opportunities in practice on the practice squad. And then that led to some opportunities on defense running our stuff. And, it looked like he showed that he was prepared, that he knew what to do, and that he was competitive doing it. We sprinkled him in there a little bit in the game, and he was able to be competitive. So, accumulation of things, not one specific thing, just day by day, just gotten better.
Your game plan, team defensively from week to week. Are you also personnel wise and rotation wise week to week? Sometimes you see Sterling more out wide, sometimes you see Aaron more wide. Maybe Alfonso makes some things now. Would you consider yourself that way as well? Would you rather go
to the guys? Well, we always try to do what we feel like is best for the team, what gives us the best chance to win. So whatever that, there's merit to everything. There's merit to having the same guys out there. Sometimes there's merit to having matchups that you think are favorable. So, sometimes there's merit to breaking up the jobs for one reason or another. So we talk about those things every week. In the end, we say, okay, what do we think is the best thing for us in this game? What gives us the best chance to win? How should we do it this week? And then that's what we try to do.
You spend a lot of time on researching, say, for instance, if Golden Tate went up against, for lack of a better guess, maybe a Denard or a McCourty or somebody like that, dealt with them. Do you go that far in depth in trying to figure out if this is a matchup game or just a position?
We could, yeah. Possible, sure. You try to look at all the information you have, whatever that is. Your players, their players, and try to figure out how it's gonna go.
Information. Let's be
Yeah, well, especially against a team like this, because they, I mean, they play a lot of guys on offense. They play all their receivers. They play their tight ends. They play multiple backs. Sometimes it's hard to figure out who's in there. Some guys play more than others. I understand that, but you can't ever. I don't think you can just count on, okay, it's first and 10, it's the second series of the game, who's going to be in there? I couldn't tell you which back's going to be in there. I couldn't tell you for sure what tight end's going to be in there. I couldn't tell you for sure what receivers are going to be in there. So they do a lot of that. They mix and match their backs, tight ends, and receivers, not only in different personnel groupings, but even though it's the same grouping, like two tight ends, two receivers, one back, it might be different guys. You know, now I don't know how much of that's them rotating them, how much of that's plan. Maybe it's a guy, you know, came out for a certain play. I mean, whatever it is, but there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different combinations there that make it, in with this particular team, make it hard to say for sure, okay, like Larry Fitzgerald, like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald's going to be in the game. You basically know where he's going to line up on probably 80-90% of the plays. So, okay, you wouldn't be able to say that with this team. That kind of consistency. So it varies from week to week.
Bill, last week you talked about Champ Bailey and just the unique abilities that he brought to the table in terms of his coverage skills and his ability to match up with virtually anybody. Is this secondary kind of present the same physical skill set in that they're big enough to cover guys that are big and they're fast enough to stay with guys who are smaller and quicker type receivers? And what does that do for your set of receivers that you feel? Does that put even more pressure for them to be more precise in their skill and their route running to kind of gain separation from guys like that?
I mean, well, first of all, I think Champ Bailey's in a class by himself. I mean, I don't want to start comparing guys to Champ Bailey. The guy's been to 11 Pro Bowls, and I mean, I'd say he's pretty close to the gold standard at corner over the course of his career. So I wouldn't. There's not a lot of guys I would compare to Champ Bailey. These guys are long. They're big. They're extremely long, 6'4", 6'2", 6'3", corners. You just don't see those very often. And to see them on one team, it's, you know, they're just hard to get away from. They're big. They're physical. They take up a lot of space. A lot of guys just, you know, just not used to working against that size player, 220-pound corners. And there's not a lot of them out there. So I think that's a challenge because it's a little bit unique. And they're also good tacklers, good run force players. For the quarterback, it's hard because it's no different than playing against a taller middle linebacker, a guy like Urlacher or somebody like that in there that's 6'4", 6'5", in the middle of the field. Their range and their height just makes those throws in the middle a little tougher. Well, when you're throwing the ball outside on a 6'2", 6'4", corner, it's a little different deal getting it over them or, you know, try to run some high-low combinations out there. You know, it's just a much bigger, you know, much bigger guy. So, but they do a good job. And but again, it's not just them; it's the entire defense. They have a good pass rush. They have good coverage players. So, you know, a lot of times the guys aren't open. The quarterback has to hold the ball a split second longer. The rush is there. Sometimes the rush is there right away. The quarterback's forcing the ball. Defenders don't really have to cover him very long. So they do a good job of putting pressure in the passing game, covering them. They're a good run defense. They're strong. They're very active. The linebackers are fast. Wright and Bobby Wagner and Hill all run well. They pursue well. Chancellor's like a linebacker. He's another 230-pound guy, so they drop him down. It's like playing, you know, a 4-4 sometimes. And those guys are big, and they run well, and they're physical. So you look at their defense, there's not a lot of, you know, I don't think you get really excited about saying, oh, well, let's do this, let's do that. I mean, they've done a pretty good job at defending everything over these five games.
Would it be tough to speed them up because they're able to kind of withstand any situation?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that we've seen a lot of that, you know, against them, but I would say that they're not the most complicated defense in the league. I don't think that's their thing, is to, you know, run 70 different blitzes and, you know, 10 different fronts and all that. That's not really their game. So I doubt that, you know, playing fast or in a no huddle and all that, I doubt that would change their scheme too much, because they really don't have I mean, they have enough things to keep you honest, but it's not like every defense that's ever been created. They do what they do. They do it pretty well. And, you know, I can't imagine that they'd have a hard time getting to those defenses because that's what they do. That's the core of their defense. They don't have 1,000 different things over there.
Two more?
Bill, visiting teams that go into Seattle have a tendency to commit a lot more offensive penalties than normal because of the noise factor. Is there a way to legitimately combat that?
We'll just practice against it. I mean, yeah, we know it's definitely an issue. We know what the numbers are and all that. We've talked about it. It just comes down to, you know, being mentally focused and concentrating, being mentally tough. Like, we know it's going to be loud. You know, we can crank up the noise here, you know, as loud as you want to crank it up. But, I mean, in the end, Sunday, we're going to have to go out there and we know we're going to have to deal with it. And it's not just offense. It's your punt protection. It's your, you know, on the field goals. I mean, it's all those plays. And they do a good job. They've gotten a lot of disruption on that. And we've played in a lot of loud stadiums before. But, you know, there's none louder than Seattle. I think they're as loud as anybody. We'll have to just do a good job with our communication and just our mental alertness. I mean, it's hard. No question, it's hard, but that's, like I said, we've been in a lot of other loud stadiums, too. We just got to deal with it.
One more.
Smaller crowd. I like it.
You must like this.
I do.
Tom, can you, I guess, talk to us a little bit about the fact that if you've never been to Seattle and through your 13 years career, you've dealt with a lot of noisy crowds, but does it concern you at all going there and dealing with that kind of situation?
I mean, I think anytime you go on the road, you expect it to be loud. So, you know, we practiced with that, and I know this is a very kind of get some attention around the league for how loud it is. I'm actually excited to get out there and you know, play in a place I've never played. So, and I think what makes it loud is they're very good. So when they make plays, you know, the crowd is into it and they get a lot of support. And they certainly have been making a lot of them this year at home. Beat two very good teams at home, Dallas and Green Bay. And you know, it's going to be a big challenge for us. And I'm excited to, you know, go out there and see what we can do.
Tom, is this one of those things, though, where you can have all the speakers in the world here trying to get ready for it, but you really won't know how to handle it until you actually experience what it is in that stadium?
Well, you just try to prepare as best you can. I think that's what you do. And you know, there's a lot of practices where, you know, we have music and we don't use any communication. So, you know, it's as loud as it possibly can be because you're not really communicating. You know, they certainly get loud when they make plays, and like I said, I think that's more that has more to do with the crowd noise is the fact that they can really play football, and they got a very good defense, and the best one in the league, statistically, you know, top five in almost every category. So they got players, you know, on the defensive line that are excellent, very good group of linebackers, and certainly a secondary. Three of those guys were in the Pro Bowl, so. I mean, they can play defense, and they get it going. And, you know, offensively, if we make a bunch of mistakes, I'm sure it'll be very loud for us. But hopefully if we get the ball in the end zone, it'll quiet it down. And I think that's really our challenge.
Just having some of that one-word terminology when the no-huddle stuff, does that help to counterattack that noise and some of the things that could be distracting for you guys?
You know, I think there's times where we, you know, use a lot of words to communicate, and there's times where we don't. And I think no matter what we do, we have to go out and execute well. I think that, you know, good offensive football is about execution. It's not about how fast you play or how slow you play. It's about how well you do your job and how well you execute the play that's being called. So, you know, when you go on the road against a good team, you can't have mental errors. You can't have, you know, opportunities that we have and then not take advantage of them. So, I think this team really, they don't give you a lot of opportunities, so when you get them, you better take advantage of them.
Everybody seems to talk about their secondary. What makes their secondary maybe one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league?
Well, they're all, they're big, they're physical. You know, they cover very well for being big guys. You know, typically you find big corners that you have a hard time covering guys. I mean, these guys, you know, they cover everybody. So they're, you know, they're quick, they're physical, they really limit the yards after the catch because they're very good tacklers. I think they're very aggressive. They obviously study hard because they read a lot of route combinations. But, I mean, they're very talented. And, you know, I think our guys are pretty talented too, so it'll be nice to see how, you know, we match up against them.
Tom, speaking of talented, your defense has created, I think, 9 turnovers in the last 2 games. How beneficial, obviously, is that to you and what you guys are trying to do on offense with those forced turnovers by your D?
Well, turnovers are always a big stat, and well, they really correlate to winning and losing games. So the more you turn it over, the less likely you are to win. I think we've done a great job of getting the ball off the other team. Like last week, I mean, that we it's a totally different game if we don't get that fumble there at the end or, you know, that strip sack that Rob got. You know, the strip that Sterling got on Demaryius Thomas. So, I mean, they're critical. And I think offensively we have to understand we're going up against a team that's created, I think, 14 fumbles. I don't think they recovered them all, but that's a lot of fumbles in 5 games. And I think that really speaks to their tenacity, them getting after the football. You know, it seems like they all are going where the football is at. And they are creating a lot of turnovers.
How much do you relish the opportunity to go into a place that is known for its noise and shut everybody up?
Well, that's the fun part about being on the road. And, you know, there's nothing better than being on the road. And, you know, like in Buffalo a few weeks ago, and there were more of our fans there at the end than their fans. I think that's part of, you know, we've done that in Pittsburgh. We've done that in some very loud environments. And, you know, this place will be really loud. And, you know, Deion said in opening warmups, you know, I think just the way the stadium's built, it just feels like there's a lot of energy and a lot of sound. And certainly on the field there is. So, you know, it's going to be fun for us players. I know we went out there in 08. I didn't go out there, but, you know, it was a dogfight that we had. They only won 2 games that year, but, you know, our game came right down to the end with them. So they have a lot of very talented players, and it's a challenging place to play. They play well at home.
You're way more concerned about the football, I know, but is there always a novelty to a new stadium? There's not that many of them left, if any, that you haven't played in. Will you go in and check this one off?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've always looked forward to doing that. Yeah, there's probably not many that I haven't played at this point. But this will be fun. I mean, it's always nice when you take 53 guys on the road and you say, this is all we got and this is all we need and this is what we got to do, and see if, you know, 70,000 fans, you know, if you can, you know, keep them quiet or turn them on their own team. I think that's, you know, the exciting part for, you know, road teams, is see if you can get, you know, them booing their own players.
As effective as the offense has been, as successful as the offense has been the last couple of years, how much does it help or improve the offense to have Stephen Ridley and Brandon Bolden, and knowing that, you know, sometimes they might get 4 yards if you need 4 yards, but sometimes they might break it for 15 or more than that? How much does that, the improved run game, help the offense?
Yeah, and I think we're doing a good job of exactly that, is changing field position, handing the ball off. And it's different when you hand it off and you gain 4 yards or 6 yards, which is a good run. But it's different when you hand it off and you gain 25. And you go, man, that was easy. Let's do that again. So, you know, you get your backed up against your own goal line, you run it out of there. You're on the 7-yard line, 1st and 10 going in, and you run it in for a touchdown like we did on, I don't think we're on the 9-yard line. But, you know, that's good football. I mean, that's hard to stop. And if you can run it and force them to tackle you and, you know, force them to get their run fits and worry about run support, and then, bam, you play action pass them, I think that's what makes good football. And, you know, we just got to continue to do it. I mean, it's only been 5 weeks, and we're certainly doing great in the running game. You know, but it really means nothing if we don't do it this week.
Tom, following up on that, Steven said after the game that they need to continue to have a well-balanced attack to take pressure off you. Do you feel the same way, that the pressure's off you when they're doing what they're doing?
I don't think there's been pressure off me in a long time. So I think, you know, that's part of the position, and probably all NFL quarterbacks feel that. But when your number's called, you got to be able to execute. So, you know, believe me, it's nice to be able to hand it off and run the ball in, and, you know, we've been more balanced this year on offense. And like I said, we just got to continue to keep it going.
When you guys use
drive through the defense.
Yeah.
Well,
they're important plays in our offense, and I think that, you know, you got to make sure they're covering everything. You know, I think that's part of, you see a lot of good teams do it, like the Saints, like Green Bay, 49ers have done it. You know, you get the ball to your guys in space, and you see if they can make guys miss. And, you know, we have some guys that do a great job running after the balls in their hands, so really it's just a matter of getting the ball in their hands and seeing, you know, if they can make guys miss, because you throw a low-risk pass for a, you know, sometimes a significant reward. And I think that's those are always good plays in the offense where, you know, it's not, you're not trying to squeeze it into four defenders for a 7-yard gain. I mean, you throw it to a guy who's open and, you know, he makes a guy miss and gains 14. That's very effective offense.
Speaking of West, it was pretty evident that he's got a joking, playful side. Do you see that a lot? Are you on the receiving end of that at all? And how would you kind of describe his personality?
Yeah, all the time I'm on the receiving end of a lot of his jokes. And I mean, he's got a great personality. He works so hard, and he likes to keep the mood light. And he's a little bit of a jokester. So, and not only that, he's a great football player. I think, you know, his jokes don't go over very well if he's not playing well. So I'm glad he's playing well.
Is he more of like a, he'll hit you with a zinger than, I know you've got into prank battles with other guys before, but is he more of like he'll zing you verbally?
Yes, and he's relentless, so he always has to have the last word, and you know, he usually gets it because he stays on it until you're worn out, and then, you know, that's usually the best guys the guys you don't want to go after. So
you talked about the noise you're anticipating this weekend earlier. Does that impact at all your ability to run the up-tempo offense? Does it alter your communication at all, or just play a role, period?
Well, I mean, I think we have lots, you know, we have several different tempos that we try to play at, and, you know, sometimes you go no huddle, sometimes we got to slow it down, and it's all really a matter of, you know, how the game's going and really how we feel is the best way to attack the other team. So, you know, every week you go in and you have different modes of playing and plays and schemes, and usually by halftime you narrow those things down to, you know, you probably got 30 plays left in the game, 35 plays left in the game, and those are the ones you got to really hone in on, so. Whatever's working, that's what we're going to try to do. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.